The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with the lovely, the talented, the non-Canadian, Lindsay Bjorklund. Did I nail it? Was that perfect?
The J sounds like a Y. It's Bjorklund, but you can just call me Lindsay B if that makes your life easier.
I think I actually like calling you Lindsay Bjorklund. It's a lot more fun to say. So is that what your mom says?
Yeah, she can't pronounce my married name. Yeah, because it's my married name.
I think I can. But I prefer, and didn't you tell me your maiden name was like Smith or something like super easy to say?
It's Wade, W-A-D-E, yeah. It's so simple.
Done, like four letters, no J's, like no silent Z's, just Wade. And now we're Bjorkling up. And I've got to meet the lovely Lindsay in person, but her husband remains shrouded in mystery. So this Mr. Bjorkland, I am dying to meet and bust chops about his name, but maybe Lindsay knows that would be an abusive situation and he'd probably punch me and is trying to protect us both. So maybe she's intentionally kept that from happening. All right. So we have the lovely Lindsay B on. She is our client happiness manager, and most good things that happen that aren't specifically coaching or marketing in our business happen because Lindsay makes it happen. And I love having her on because I refer to her in our coaching so many times. People are like, how do you do this? How do you do that? I'm like, I don't even know. That would be an Ask Lindsay. And I'm constantly talking about the vibe and the core values and the culture. And I always want her to be like, Mike's full of crap here, or he actually does this, or he does this and I like it, or he does this and it sucks. And then finally, she is one of a couple people on the team where when people are like, how did you hire that person? And it's on Lindsay's team. I'm like, I didn't. Lindsay came to me and said, I need this. And I said, fine. So she's kind of got her criterion in terms of what success looks like for her that are very clear. And it's basically the number of people that join our program that move on to the next program. Cause we could ask them, are you super happy? And they might say yes, or they might say no, but if they don't stick with us, that's a good indicator they're not happy. Even if they say they are, and if they move with us, and I can't imagine why they'd stick with us and go, I'm not happy, but it's a pretty good indicator they're happy. So she's got that, she's got a budget, and it's pretty much like, whatever you do in that, as long as you can move the needle the right way, it works. So I figured we'd have Lindsay on. She would try and talk and give you guys good stuff. I would interrupt with nonsense and we'd see how that felt. So Lindsay, all that said, what if that's true? What if that's not true? And what do you think we can use this time to give the most value to Cleaning Nation?
Yeah, well, I think that's mostly true what you just said. So I think we're on the same page. Nothing was new to me. The reason I was just kind of talking to you before we hit record, the reason I thought this might make a good episode is because we recently did a presentation for a talk, and I was in the chat helping out people, and I introduced myself as the client happiness manager. And one of the cleaning business owners in the chat was like, I love that name, and I'm going to steal it. I'm going to use it for my cleaners that go out to clean. And I'm like, this lady gets it. She's a genius, because I think sometimes with any company, especially cleaning business owners, where you forget how much value you bring to people and that you're really just bringing them happiness at the end of the day. So a clean house, a clean business can bring so much happiness and joy and value to people's lives. And sometimes Cleaning Nation, I know numbers are important. I know tactical stuff is important, but I think this is equally as important about why client happiness is crucial to your cleaning company. So
let me tell you my big pet peeve with cleaning companies, and then we'll talk about how Lindsay's kind of title evolved and then how you can perhaps use that in yours. So my big pet peeve with cleaning companies, I get a lot of when it comes to hiring, not cleaners. So that's always the first thing, which is great, right? First thing, get out of cleaning, make sure that's all. So that's your most important hiring system is your cleaners, because that's going to be something you're going to do all the time. After that, it's a lot of VAs and operations manager. How do I hire a VA? How do I hire an operations manager? And my question is always, what do you want them to do? And it gets silent, or they'll start talking. And you know, when they talk for 7 minutes and you're still confused, that they have no idea what they want this. But basically, if they were going to be honest, they'd go, there's a bunch of crap I don't want to do, and I'm hoping I can throw money money at someone and they'll magically understand what it is and do it for me well and never quit. And it's like, yeah, that'd be great. I don't know how to coach you to do that. So the first step when we start breaking down what it is we want them to do is we can start giving them a better title. So virtual assistant, I forget who I was coaching the other day. I think it was the Millionaire Masterminds. I'm like, I don't want a virtual assistant because right in the name means they're going to be assisting me, meaning I have to be working and I don't want to do that. So I want, if they're virtual, I'm fine with, but I want a virtual get crap done while I'm relaxing person, not an assistant, because that means by definition, if I have a virtual assistant, I must be working. So right off the bat, I don't want that. I hate the assistant, right? Like you do it. If I'm paying you, I don't want to do it. If I'm doing it, I don't want to pay you. But so we got to pick one or the other. So The virtual assistant I hate, and the operations manager I hate, because it's just like, what on God's green earth does that mean? So first and foremost, if you're like, oh, I love this, I'm going to start calling my cleaners customer happiness managers. That's fine. But that has to be what they actually do, right? Exactly. So make sure you're... Number one pet peeve is be very specific in what you call them, right? Now, behind the scenes, so I can show you that we screw up all the time. I think when Lindsay got here, we didn't really have a title. So she kind of defaulted to my least favorite, operations manager, right? Yeah. Or what were you going to say, Lindsay? Did you have a different one?
I was a virtual assistant that was on the application. Right. And then it quickly changed to operations manager.
And now so I'm both here. The ones I told you not to do, Lindsay's done. So we screw up all the time. Yeah. And by the way, I would have never considered Lindsay an assistant, but the company that we use is called Get a Great Assistance, who's great, by the way. So I think that was where that came in. I would have never called her a virtual assistant. And operations manager, we never really titled her that, but that's what it was. So The cool thing, how we got to customer happiness is, again, I always like, we want to plan for outcome, not for tasks. So if you're going to hire operations manager and you're unwilling to do the work of what is it I specifically want them to do and how do they know if they're succeeding, then name them doer of crap I don't want to do. Like at least call them that, yeah. Right? Because then best of luck how that works out. So with Lindsay, we realized, and again, Lindsay's the best. So she did a good job of what I would call making the trains run on time, right? If something went wrong, which rarely did with Lindsay, on top of things, she'd fix it. And she just made sure she was great. My life and most everyone else on the team's life and our client's life was better just because Lindsay made sure everything got handled. But that's not a very good, like, get crap handled isn't a great job description. Operations manager is not a great description. No. And she'd been with us a while and her pay was kind of the same as it was when we started, but her ability, what she'd done was a lot more. So as opposed to just like, here's randomly more money, which would have been better than nothing. We're like, let's really get to, I'd like to pay more money, but how can we distill that down into more value for the company? And we realized we kind of based it on, again, how many people move from our first product to our second. And again, that's not a sales job. It's if we do a really good job on the first thing and they're like, oh my gosh, this was life-changing, then we don't have to sell anything. They'll move on their own, which is, and holy crap, by the way, I think we had like 20 or 30 or 40% move. And now it's like 80%. It's insane. Lindsay just focusing on that. So we realized that's really what we wanted her to do. And we realized if the clients were happy, the operations had to be done. So we didn't need both, right? Like the operations manager, she could make sure the trains run on time and the clients could have had an adequate to less than adequate or okay experience. Mm-hmm. We can only pay so much for that. As much as we love Lindsay, that job's only worth so much. But when we said, hey, Lindsay's opposed to trying to just make sure the trains run on time, which is an important job. That's just like bare minimum of don't screw things up. Don't make my life miserable. Don't make the rest of the team, you know, just kind of be the babysitter effectively of the company. That's fine, but you can only pay so much to babysit. Once we were clear on, well, how do we get the financial end for us was getting more people into our next program and having them stay longer. And the best way to do that is to have them have an amazing experience. So we have now a full-time person. All she does is think through how can I make their experience better? And she's always coming up with cool stuff and she gets paid commensurately. So you can see how just changing from operations manager, and she did as good of a job as she could, and we paid her as much as we could, to customer happiness manager really freed her up to go, oh, okay, that's my real job. And then we connected pay with it. So it wasn't just, you know, Lindsay's amazing and probably would have done a pretty good job just because we asked her to, but pay makes you creative, right? When it's like, oh, I have freedom. And if they're paying me for this, I can't feel guilty for just taking a half a day to just go to the beach and think about how our clients can be more happy, right? If she's an operations manager,
do that.
She's like, half day, try 3 days. And I only think about the business a half day. I take 3 days. All right. So what are your thoughts on all of that? Call me where it's bullcrap. Tell me where it works and how we translate that to value to our listeners.
Ooh, okay. That's a big loaded question. So let me break it down for how I see it. So when I made that transition in the client happiness manager, I don't even remember. One of us made up the title, Mike, and I was like, this is the title. Like, this is what I do. And yeah, like you said, operations falls into it. And it also, for me, I think the best part was, I mean, of course, like having, you know, a different pay system set up was really cool and exciting. But the other exciting thing that was, I got a lot of clarity. So there was a lot of stuff that I was doing that it wasn't contributing to making our clients happy. And there was stuff that I was doing that I wasn't good at, like marketing. It just wasn't my strength. And we kind of sorted out who on our team could handle what and it just kind of realigned everything. And I feel like once we got that solidified, I was just let out of the pen. I was like free, roaming on the meadow and thinking of more creative ways to help our customers and also rely on the team and find strengths in our team at who could help me achieve that because our roles in the company aligned. So yeah, we have a team now that we call Team Lynn Sutre. It's me.
Actually, Tracy boxed me the other day and called you guys the Three Amigas. And I'm like, that might be better. So Three Amigas, I thought was pretty solid, but we'll stick good. With Lynn Sutre for now.
But yeah,
Lindsay just likes that one because she's the first of Lynn Sutre. So I don't know how she got it to the front, but there she is.
Yeah. So just those two main points for me is getting clarity so I can zero in on things and also finding who on our team already can help us with that goal. So, yeah.
And I'll tell you, and I love having these conversations because I can always tell you from the owner's perspective, but a lot of times you'd like it from the team member's perspective, right? So if I'm like, this is great, but your team members are going to hate you, that's not super. Or if Lindsay was miserable and you couldn't hear her thing, you're like, that's only half of the story. So I love that feedback from Lindsay. On my side, and here's the thing, guys, gals, I was forced to really think it a little more, and this is what drives me. Jared's great at this and Lindsay's great at this. They ask me questions and I'm like, that sounds like a lot of mental work. Like to answer their question thoughtfully, I really have to think, which is what we get paid for, guys, gals. We get paid to think for other people, frankly. It's not that people don't know how to clean. They're like, I have to get the materials and it's a part of my schedule and it's blah, blah, blah. Just to be like, we'll figure out all those details for you. Don't you worry. You're going to walk home and the house is just going to feel amazing. I would like that. I don't want to have to deal with it. So that said, that question of Lindsay needs more money. And by the way, for Lindsay's credit, it's not like she came to us saying she needed more money. It was just me going, holy crap, how long have you been here? And how are you only making money? So it was really us figuring that out. So I kind of came with Lindsay needs more money. She, for my fault, was making about as much as I think we could pay someone to do the job that we had. So it forced me to ask a couple of questions that you can use and steal for yourself in that, what would this person have to do? Started with how I could afford to pay them this much. And then turn to where I'd be really excited to pay her this much. Like the cool thing with Lindsay and I, it's not like with her bonuses, she hits her full bonus and she wins and the company loses. I'm like, damn it. You know, what are we going to do? We can't pay, you know, there's no profit. I'm super excited. When Lindsay hits her bonuses, that means we did great. And when Lindsay doesn't hit her bonus, it hurts us. So the question I would encourage you to ask is, what would this person have to do, result, outcome, not task, right? Because if I went to tasks, she's coming up with the tasks and her task list that she's coming up with far better than what I could have come up with. The outcome is what we had to get clear on. And the outcome was if the people, more of our people went from our first product to our ongoing product and stayed longer in that, the world is our oyster. We could pay her just about anything and be fine. So that was the first thing. And then we had to distill that down into, okay, what's the baseline? Where are we at now? Right? Because I don't want to pay extra for her to keep it the same. And then how much can we pay her? She goes up. And it's been awesome because if I tried to think of what she should have done, whatever job list she has now that's now written down. And that's another thing, by the way, she writes all this crap down, so I don't have to worry about it. is far better than what I would have ever come up with. So the question that I would encourage you to ask is, what outcome would this person have to get that A is in their skill set? Like, because Lindsay is, you can tell just by talking to her, she's a sweetie. She loves making people happy. Even at the event, she's always like, how's the food? Like, she's always just like mama bearing. I don't even think she's a mom. So she's like a mom to all the group. Yeah. So as opposed to her children with, little Bjorklands running around everywhere. She just kind of mothers our community, which is so it's a perfect task, right? If you put me or Jared or even Jackson, who are all nice human beings, we're not going to be the same person as Lindsay. So one, making sure you can ask yourself the question, what would I need to have them do that I'd be really excited to pay them for? How much could I pay them? And then, do I have the right person for the job? That's kind of my side. All right. I feel like we've been going for a bit. I'm just going to let you finish this up. You give them, from your perspective, the floor is yours. Any value you see fit to give, you give it, girl.
Yeah. So I know we kind of like how I started talking about what I thought we were going to talk about is a little different than where we ended, but I really think you just hit the nail on the head. I really don't have much to add except just having that clarity of thinking of the outcome of what you want. So in our case, just like a lot of cleaning company owners out there, you want your clients to be happy. You want their recurring business, and it lifts everyone, right? The phrase, Mike? The rising tide lifts all boats. So it's not like, oh, we're getting all this recurring business and it's only benefiting us. You have to keep in mind that you're benefiting your client too. This is making everyone's lives better. And I just feel really lucky that we have such a great group of people, of clients, that they're just so joyful about it, and getting to interact with them and seeing what our service brings to their lives has changed things for me. So I think as a cleaning business owner, I would say look for feedback from your clients, look for feedback of their happiness, and share that with your community, and that'll speak for itself.
And just to put a bow on this, hopefully you guys and gals are hearing the energy and joy that Lindsay has. What I hear you guys say to me is, I just want someone that cares about my business the same way that I care about my business. And I don't know how to do that, but I do know how to get people that care about the things I care about the same way I care about them. So hopefully you're hearing Lindsay be like, how could I get a Lindsay? She's amazing. And she is amazing. But the reason you're attracted to her and we were attracted to her, and I think she was attracted to us, is we share core values. So we're have fun, make money, be real, and help out. So the cool thing I love about Lindsay, I talked to her for an hour on Zoom and in front of everybody on private meetings and public meetings. And then when I met her, I'm like, this is exactly the Lindsay I've come to know and love, and vice versa. Right. Hopefully she at no point was like, oh, that's podcast Mike, and this is boss Mike, and that's like Mike with Natalie Mike. It's the same idiot. So in the same way, to have fun and to help out, like there's no way I could train anybody to have the heart for our people that Lindsay has. I could find someone that already had that heart and just tell them how amazing they are and like let them free and get them, throw a bunch of money at them. That's our job. So I just want to encourage you, if the people you have for the job don't share your core values, you're never going to have a Lindsay. Now, Lindsay might be a Lindsay for a different company. I'm not saying she's worthless or can't be of good value. It's just a bad core values fit. So it's not that she couldn't be that for somebody else, just not for you. So it just always comes back to core values. If you're like, how do I get a Lindsay? Be clear on what your core values are. Speak them super loudly. Lindsay was really attracted to that, right? I'm guessing hopefully now her pay is better than what she thinks she could make. But when she got here, it was probably she could make a nickel more, a nickel less with a different job, right? I'm assuming came down to, are these the people I want to work with? And if I'm like, we're really nice, or we pay a bunch of money, or the hours are good, those are all fine. But I'd like to think Lindsay's like, that's who I want to work with, and vice versa. Like when we do a podcast, I see Lindsay on my schedule. I'm like, yay, I haven't talked to Lindsay. And I'm like, it's super nice. So as opposed to crap, I got to do this job and blah, 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 blah. So core values, core values, core values. Cleaning Nation, if this is scratching a tiny bit where you itch, but you want more, go to growmycleaningcompany.com because of the efforts of the lovely Lindsay and her entire team. We've got, are we at 700 yet? What do you know what podcast number we're at? I always say over 600, but I've been saying it for like months.
Yeah, I'm going to give you an exact number. All right, here I think goes. We're this recording like six. You and I are recording 685 right now.
All right. So I'll be able to say over 700. We got over 600 podcasts, growmycleaningcompany.com. There's a Facebook group. There's a free on-demand training masterclass. I would start there. But all the resources you need to help grow your cleaning company, get amazing people like Lindsay, have a beautiful life. Check it out, growmycleaningcompany.com. I will see you there.
Cleaning Nation.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.